Amen. So God is on the moon. With God, all things are possible. Amen. So we're going to continue on. I know this, you're probably looking up here going, Shelly, that was Easter. But when I was praying about that, praying about this, this is what I got, was this story. If you look at in your Bibles, in Luke 23 and verse 50, Jesus has already passed away. And now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and a just man. He had not consented to their decision and their deed. That was the Jewish leaders. And he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock, where there had never been anyone laid. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And women who had come with him from Galilee followed after him. They observed the tomb and how the body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Hallelujah. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hand of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again.'" And this is the important one. "And they remembered his words." And they remembered his words. So let me tell you something. It is not a common thing for someone to die, to be put into a tomb, and raise again. You know that, right? Because if that were common, we wouldn't have any graveyards, right? Because people don't just get up out of tombs. That doesn't happen. But see, again, we look at Bible stories and we go, yeah, that happened. Of course it happened. Really? This was impossible with men. Impossible. Why do we know that? Because what were the women doing? They were looking for his what? His body. Where is it? It was an impossible situation. And in the natural, they couldn't even conceive, even though he had already told them this was going to happen. They couldn't perceive it in their mind. They couldn't grasp it. It was so far beyond them. Until what? Until the angels reminded them of whose words? His words. Sometimes there's things in our lives that we will go through financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and it will be really hard for us to conceive or perceive that God will be faithful. Our circumstances, the way our body feels, in the natural, it will look one way. It will look like it's in a tomb, it's sealed, and it's done. Anybody ever had a diagnosis like that before where it's over? That's it, right? Anybody have to look at their finances and it's like bankruptcy? I'm that close, right? Those things in the natural look like a tomb. Like there's no way out. There can't be an answer in the natural. But I know all of you, you have been in the Word. But sometimes what happens, even if Jesus himself tells us something, what happens? Sometimes we can't what? Remember. We can't remember. Jesus told them that this was going to happen. He would die. He'd be crucified. He would be buried. But what? On the third day, he would raise again. So sometimes in the midst of our circumstance and our situation that looks impossible, listen to me, it may look impossible. That diagnosis may look impossible. That financial situation might look impossible. That relational thing might look impossible. It might look like it's gone, dead, buried, and over. But with God, aren't you so glad for those words? But with God, all things are possible. So what do we need to take away from this today? As always, in every situation where we've seen God do the impossible. There was something that somebody had to do on their part. Say, I have a part. And you know what your part is this time? We have to remember the words of Jesus. When you're looking at something and it does not look good, you have to remember the words of Jesus. Those words are able to turn situations around. They're able to move mountains. They're able to destroy bondages. They're able to set people free. They're able to set your finances free. They're able to take circumstances and situations that look like they would never, ever change and change them. But our part is to remember what he said and to stand on those promises. Amen? What did those ladies do after they heard from that? After they heard from the angels? They did what? They didn't just casually walk to tell the disciples. It says they ran. They ran to tell everybody else the good news. When that happens in your life, don't let it just go by. You run and you tell everybody that you know the good news of the glory of God. This looked like, in my life, like it was dead, done, buried. But because of Jesus and because of the Lord, I'm set free. I'm healed. I'm delivered. My finances are amazing. Amen? Because let me tell you why. And then you share the words of Jesus so they too can find that freedom. Isn't this exciting? This is so exciting. This is not just for Easter Sunday. But he is risen. So when he rose, he brought us up with him. We don't have to stay in these circumstances and these situations. We don't have to look at it and feel like it's over. Because of Jesus, we have the promise. If we remember, we too will live again. We'll be set free. We'll be delivered. We'll be set on fire. And we'll take people with us. Amen? Grab your tithes and offering this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for this word today. I pray, Father, for every person in this room, Lord, that they're facing a situation or a circumstance, Father, in their own lives that looks impossible. Whatever it is, I thank you, Father, for reminding them that with you, all things are possible. You're even able to take something that looks like it's dead and buried and over and finished and able to bring it back to life again. Abundant life, Father. And that's what I pray for every person's finances today. I pray for abundant life. I thank you, Father, that you are touching everyone's finances with more than enough from these last days for us to accomplish all that God has for us to accomplish. To be blessed, to be a blessing, Father. To be a part, we are a part of Abraham's seed, and that's what we're called to do. We are called to do that. And Father, I pray that you would just stretch our thinking and help us to be able to grasp and understand ideas and concepts and insights, inventions, things that nobody's ever thought of before, Father. That you would give us those things that we would be able to do your work in these last days. Bless every seed that is sown this morning. Bless the giver. Just let this be an anointed, blessed day in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Well, let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praises and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. It's so good to start our week in church, in the Word, right? And fellowshipping with other believers. This was not a man's idea. This is God's idea, right? Praise the Lord. Can we bump the lights up just a little bit in here so I can see my Bible a little better? Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. But the message title today, I've been seeking the Lord on it, and it's called The Light and the Victory. Somebody say, The Light and the Victory. Originally, I had thought about a title like The Mindset of Victory, you know, and I just felt like there was more to it, right? And so let's just get right into this. First of all, I want to talk about the light. Somebody say, the light, right? And what did we just turn up? The light, right? Why did we turn up the light? Class, this is a science question. So we can see. Praise the Lord, right? Complicated, I know. By the way, you know, men and women are different, right? It's Father's Day, right? So I can say something. Men and women are different. I read something this week that asked, why do women speak twice as many words as men do? And the answer was, because we weren't listening the first time. And now back to the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from the government. Oops, no. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Democrats or the Republicans. No, 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 no. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Somebody say above. How many know when the rapture happens, we're going up? We're not going down. Jesus already went down, so you can go up. Somebody say that. He went down, so I can go up. And he still isn't down, right? Jesus isn't down. He's up. He was down for, what, 3 days? And now he's up. And he went down and down and down and down and down into the depths, into the pit, so I don't have to. Somebody tried to argue with me once, and I've heard Kenneth Copeland talk about this, but I've never had anybody take issue with me about it, but they did. In terms of, oh, you word and faith people, you believe that Jesus died spiritually. They read something someone else says to accuse word and faith people, you know. A guy I visited a couple weeks ago, a great brother, faith person, and he's like, you know what, we came all the way here, drove miles and miles because we believe you're a faith church here. And my answer was, that shouldn't be an oxymoron. Faith church. Right? But God is a good God. He is a good God. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you, to heal you. And if Jesus didn't die spiritually, he died in every way a man could die. Right? If he hadn't have done it, then that was my answer to this friend of mine, the friends, right? I said, if he hadn't have, then I would have to have. So yes, he did. Praise the Lord forevermore. And then you know the story, 3 days later, he rose again and he went, somebody say, up. There's proof. There's written proof in this Bible that he went up. There were witnesses. They saw him. Remember that story? The book of Acts? He called him out, think to the Mount of Olives. And he went up. and they're standing there looking up. Smaller and smaller. There he goes. And all of a sudden there's angels standing there with him saying, why are you standing there looking up? He's coming back the same way. Right? Now somebody say, what that means to me is I got work to do then. On this planet, somebody say, here and now, we have work to do, because what we saw in that video from the worship night was young people deciding, I'm going up. The devil has pitched everything he possibly could pitch at this generation, and it ain't good enough for him. All his filth and all his trash and all his perversions and all of his hate and divisiveness, a lot of these young people are saying, I don't want it. I want Jesus. It was so great to hear them testifying and sharing their faith with their peers. Hallelujah. On the kid's shirt there that was getting baptized, it said in big bold letters, I. Somebody say I. Not someone else. Someone made me decide. No, he said, I have decided that I'm going up. And when he went down into the water, and then they didn't leave him down in the water. There's a minister's joke about baptisms of you hold them down as long as they need to be down, right? Until they really, do you see him yet? Do you see him? Do you see the Lord? It's a symbol, right? That he went down into death, into the grave, and then you bring him up. Because we're going up. He is risen. Not he went down. It doesn't say 3 days later he stayed down. No, 3 days later he rose. Somebody say going up. And I'm so glad we had donuts today, because donuts are made with things that rise. rise. And I had three of them this morning, right? They were the small ones, but I had three of them. Glory to God. Amen. Because it is Father's Day. And he is risen. Praise the Lord. Man, that's only the first six words of this verse. We better get moving, right? Every good and every perfect gift is from above that comes down from the Father of lights. Somebody say the Father of lights. With whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I love this time of the year, 4th of July, to just go out there and watch the sky light up. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes at my house, it's too close, right? But it's still fun. You just put some earplugs in. He is the Father of lights. Glory to God. With whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He doesn't change his mind. He's not one way this day and another way the next day. And he's not up and down and, you know, he's going to bless you today, curse you tomorrow. What mood is God in today? A lot of people believe that. Religious people believe that. Right? He might bless you. He might curse you. He might make you sick. He might heal you. What mood is he in? Maybe God's wearing a mood ring. Is it red? Is it purple? Is it green? No, no, no. There is no variation or shadow of turning. So what we all need to be in the habit of doing as the church is turning to him. In fact, that's what the cross can remind us of. The letter T is turn. Somebody say turn to God. Turn to Jesus. And lights, here's some definitions of lights. It means shine. Somebody say shine. My father-in-law sent Luke a text message through Shelly yesterday because he was going to speak at the graduation, did a wonderful job. And he gave him a scripture, the scripture, I believe, from Matthew 3 or 5? Matthew 5, 16. Let your light so shine. And boy, did he and many of his friends just tell the people. And they didn't just say, I have faith in God, because how many know God can mean a lot of things? They actually said, Jesus. Faith in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let your light so shine. It also means make manifest. Luminousness means fire. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. And there's a lot of details in these notes you can take and study for yourself the rest of this week and let the Lord minister to you because we got to march, right? But Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. So Christians ought to be real good at finding time to spend in the Bible every day, because if I spend time in the Bible, then literally the light of God is piercing through the darkness that's in my own heart. Amen. We need the power of God's light penetrating our lives, our minds, our hearts, reading it out loud, reading it to ourselves, meditating on it, being diligent to be in the Word daily. Amen. The entrance of your words gives light. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. This is huge. So it's not only that you read it, but you believe it and you do it. Right? Somebody say, I read it and I meditate on it and I act on it. Glory to God. And I love Keith Moore says this. I love the way he says it. He says, you need to be real good at walking in the light that you have. Amen? The difference between good and evil, right and wrong, light and darkness is found in the pages of this book. Praise the name of Jesus forevermore. So sin really is a violation of light. I knew what I was supposed to do and I didn't do it. Or I knew what I wasn't supposed to do and I did it anyway, right? So what do we do when that happens? We turn back to Jesus. Turn ourselves in, right? Just surrender to the Lord. Praise God forevermore. Walk in the light. Somebody say, walk in the light. And as we're doing that, in the habit of doing that, that now qualifies you and me to live this thing called a life of victory. So if I'm not walking in the light, then I can say victory, 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 victory all I want to, but it's just chatter. You can teach a parrot to say victory. Victory, victory, victory. Right? But he didn't know what he's talking about. So somebody say, walk in the light that you have. Be invested in the word. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. But let's look at this now, the victory. Because this is where we're living, right? We can live in this place of victory. Victory means words like conquer. Somebody say conquer. Overcome. Prevail. Get the victory. What this sounds to me like is the victory, the faith message, the faith lifestyle doesn't mean there are no battles. The faith lifestyle, the victory lifestyle does not mean it's just automatic. No. You have to press in. You have to claim it. You have to study it. You have to be on it. Glory to God. Amen. I love this quote I saw from Albert Einstein this past week. He says this, "It's not that I'm so smart, it's just that I stay with problems longer." I'd always had this impression of Einstein as he's just this extremely brilliant and gifted man. Well, no, according to himself, no. I just stay with problems longer. How many know we need to stay with the word longer? It's not that I've been chosen by God to live this life of victory, and that's why I'm so favored and blessed. It's just simply that I spend more time with Jesus than you do. I know him better. I'm closer to him. And how many know being closer to Jesus, as we've learned in recent weeks and years, doesn't mean everything's just going to be smooth as silk. There's stories in this book about his own guys. Get in the boat, we're crossing the water, and what happens in the middle of the water? There's a storm. So sometimes the closer we get to him, the more riled up the devil gets. Right? And we have to keep our eyes off of all of his peripheral things and just keep our eyes locked on the master and keep taking steps. Amen. Hallelujah. We had things going on yesterday, right? And we're getting ready for a great graduation, and there's things going on with battles in our family. Health battles going, all of this just acute, right? And we finally just had to lock eye, and we're praying and believing and pressing in. It's like, you know what, honey? We're just going to have to get through the next 3 hours and see what's next. Keep our eyes locked on Jesus. And what was about to happen? 3,000+ people were about to hear the name Jesus. Multiple times. So the devil, what's he want you to do? He wants you to melt down and get offended and start saying stuff and quit. But somebody say, no, I refuse to quit. That's a lifestyle. That's a victory mindset. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. So it's not, I love Einstein, it's not that I'm so smart, it's just that I stay with problems longer. the devil jumps up, boo, and then we quit. No, we don't quit. No, we don't quit. Shelley said the Lord woke her up in the middle of the night 2 nights ago and said, no matter what happens today, I want you to know I'm with you and you're going to be okay. Because sometimes when you're in the heat of a battle, it seems like, where did you go, Lord? Where did you go? The faith lifestyle, the victory lifestyle, doesn't mean there are no battles. In fact, in a lot of cases, there's more battles. But we know in the name and by the blood of Jesus, if we're walking in the light that we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Glory to his name forevermore. And Psalm 98, verse 1 says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Somebody say, practice praising all the time. Be in praise. Just lift your hands and just say, glory to God. Hallelujah. glory to God. Praise his name. Turn on the praises. Not just when you feel like it. It's actually more important when I don't feel like it. I don't feel like praising right now. I feel like griping. I feel like sports. and sugar. I need a good, strong, stiff coffee. Or a real long nap. Or a vacation. Or all of it. somebody say, stay in the victory lane, right? You got to press through. You got to keep moving. Sometimes it just means, look, just think about the next mile. Don't worry about the big picture. Leave the big picture to him. How many know he can change it on a dime? Right? Glory to God forevermore. And there's other people that are watching you and listening to you and following you. But whether they are or not, I'm going through. Somebody say it loud, I'm going through. I am going through. And you got to say it loud enough for yourself and the devil to hear it. Listen, devil, I am going through. You're not stopping me. In the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, right? And worship him and praise him. 1 John 5:4, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. I love how Kenneth Copeland says that. That has overcome the world, even our faith. What is faith? Reliance. Total reliance on Christ for my salvation. And conviction. Reliance on Christ and conviction of the truthfulness of God. What you saw in that young man in the baptismal tank was he was saying, I, from this day on, am total relying on Christ, and I have a conviction that I'm going to follow him all the days of my life. And here's my public confession. Hallelujah. Now that's victory. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. I want to read this to you. If you want to turn somewhere, you can turn there. And then also, we're going to end on 2 Kings chapter 3 if you want to put one finger there and the other and the other. Or you can just, you know, take notes and listen later. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, next page, 50 through 58. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this immortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Verse 55. O Hades, where is your victory? I like to say that driving past cemeteries sometimes. Hey, in my car, you know, speaking. Hey, grave. Where is your victory? Because don't you know the trumpet's going to sound and every believer's remains that's in the ground is every, you see the cross, some of them have the cross. That should remind, like a rocket ship, man. It's just a matter of time and it's going up and out they're going to come and be rejoined to their spirits, every molecule of the remains of, I mean, they could have been eaten by sharks out there in the ocean. And when that trumpet, this is how big our God is, right? Glory to God. So if death even has no victory, that pretty much covers every area of life. I would say, amen? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Oh, we ought to be practicing thanksgiving and praise all day, every day. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that gospel song, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Amen, right? We got to remind ourselves of these things, right? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Somebody say, I'm steadfast. I'm immovable. I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that my labor is not in vain. in the Lord. Glory to his name forevermore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. If God gave you something, who can take it away? Let me ask you that. If God gave you something, who can take it from you? Glory to God. Amen. And that leads me to four statements that really were the inspiration for this message today that the Lord told me a number of weeks ago. And I've been just waiting for an opportunity to share it, right? He told me this. He said, we need to be saying this to ourselves. Somebody say, I don't have a victim mindset. Well, we're talking about having a victory mindset. You can't have a victory mindset and see yourself as a victim. That's what we hear the media pushing on people, especially people of color and women. And you know what I'm saying? People of different nationalities, poor, poor you. Or for the men, you're just a stupid man, poor you. That's a lie of the devil, right? We can't embrace a victim mindset and have a victory mindset simultaneously. And you can study the life of Joseph as an example of that. Genesis 37 through 50. Joseph. If anybody could have had a victim mindset, it was Joseph. Right? Sold into slavery by his own brothers. Abused, rejected, but he kept that dream that he had alive in God, and he kept an attitude of thanksgiving and fellowship with God, and he chose to serve and work and keep a good mindset, keep his mind clear of bitterness toward other people. And wow, read the book. What happened in Joseph's life? And somebody say, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, and I'm not going to write a book about what a victim I've been and go on social media and talk about what a victim I've been. That we've got to get that out of the body of Christ. We are not, Jesus is not coming back to get you in the rapture because poor, pitiful you. There's not going to be poor, pitiful you awards passed out in heaven. No. I do not have a victim mindset. Number two, I don't have a vengeance or venomous mindset where I just want to strike back at people that struck at me. Somebody say, forgive. Walk in forgiveness. The Bible says that, you know, in numerous places, God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Right? And that doesn't mean we're doormats for people. That doesn't mean we allow Iran to build nuclear weapons that they're going to try to shoot. You know what I'm saying? But there's great story. It's the wisdom of the Holy Ghost that helps us to discern these things. But vengeance and venomous mindsets, you can't have that and simultaneously live a life of victory. Look at King David and King Saul as an example of that. In 1 Samuel verse 24, or chapter 24, you can read that whole chapter. I'm not going to go through it right now. But David, you know the story where King Saul was after David to take him out. David had great opportunity to get spiteful and vengeful towards Saul. And he had opportunities that he could have said, even he had guys around him saying, look, God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Let me just go and strike him to the ground with one blow. And what did David say? No, far be it from me to touch God's anointed. Respect for leadership, even if it's evil. Right? Leave that stuff to God. And we saw, if you read the story, we saw how God took care of it. But if we try to take care of it ourselves, we cannot live a life of victory simultaneously and live a life of vengeance and venom toward people. And that goes to words we say, what we think about people. Amen. Somebody say, let it go. Get over it. Toward our parents and relatives or politicians or whatever, even ourselves. We don't even have the right to be spiteful and vengeful toward ourselves. By the blood of Jesus. And that brings us to the next one. We can't have, somebody say, I don't have a violation mindset. This is stuff God was teaching me. What does that mean? I don't know about you, but sometimes it's easy for me to, all I think about is everywhere I'm blowing it. I missed it here, and I missed it there, and I did it again, and I did this again. That's why I do not qualify for the blessing. That's why I'm not healed. That's why I'm not blessed. That's whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just that constant browbeating and whipping yourself and telling yourself what an ugly slug you are. You can't have that mindset and live a life of victory and walk in victory at the same time. How many, if you confessed it to Jesus, the sin that you did, then the blood washes you of it, then you just need to forget about it. Paul is a great example of this. In Acts chapter 28, when a viper fastened itself to Paul's wrist, and the natives of the land said, he must be a murderer. What could Paul instantly have gone to in his mind? Yeah. I approved of the stoning of Stephen and all this. I was persecuting the church. I guess the chickens came home to roost. I guess I'm reaping what I sowed. I guess it's bad karma. But Paul knew his Lord Jesus, and he knew the power of the blood that separated him once and for all time, and that he was no longer that same guy. Right? And so what did he do? You read the chapter. He shakes the serpent off into the fire. Somebody say, forget about it. Do not be a person that's constantly judging yourself for every little nitpicky thing. Can't do that and have a victory mindset. We also need to watch this in terms of other people, because it's also easy for me to start judging other people. Why'd that person get healed? They smoke. That person doesn't come to church. Why are they driving a nice car and seem happy? Somebody say, get over it. Get off the violation mindset thing, right? If we're missing it somewhere, repent and move on. Forget about it. Hallelujah. Amen, right? Finally, in Christ, I only, somebody say, in Christ, I only have a victory mindset. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Somebody say, always. Two key words there, now and always. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus, through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. You know, there's a scripture that says, talking about the fragrance of his knowledge, to people that hate God. I'm in pest control. I do pest control during the week right now. And there's a smell of death when there's like a dead rat or a dead possum or something like that. There's a smell. And to people that hate God, that's what they smell in the spirit when you talk about Jesus in front of them. That's how serious it is, right? But we are the fragrance of his knowledge in every place, and we pray that God opens their eyes and their ears before it's too late. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to close with 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 11 and 22, or through 22. I believe this kind of sums up the light and the victory concept here. I read this in my regular Bible reading the other day, and I just picked an image, almost forgot about the image today, but just, I want you to think about a body of water when light is reflecting off the water. And this story really jumped out at me this past week. 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 11 through 22. And 2 Kings, 1 Kings, you've read, probably many of you read it. It's good king, bad king. Seemed like a lot more bad kings than good kings. Some kings started out bad and got good. Some kings started out good and got bad, right? Just, you know. Well, here's an example of a king of Israel. Judah and Israel were divided during this time, right? And the king of Israel was a bad king. And the king of Judah seemed to be good. Jehoshaphat seemed to be more of a good king, right? But the prophet Elisha is involved here, right? And they've got this problem with the king of Moab that wants to destroy them. And so they say, let's find out what we need to get some the mind. Even in the midst of their wickedness, they understood we probably should check with the prophet on what we should do militarily here. Right? So anyway, so verses 11 through 22, Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha." Now see, Judah and Israel weren't even getting along very well during this time. So for them to even come together was pretty amazing, right? But they have this a common enemy, and they should have a common God in their roots, right? "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here who poured water on the hands of Elijah." Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, there you go, and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." But the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you or see you." I mean, those are strong words. How many know prophets and ministers of the gospel do not need to back down to somebody because of their political stand? Just be straight with them, right? "But now bring a musician." And it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. See, praise music. Get praising God and the word comes, man, right? And he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with waters." There's a drought going on, right? "So that you, your cattle, your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord." How many know things that are hard to us are simple? He says, "Fill this valley full of ditches." They're in a drought. "And I will fill it with water with no rain." Somebody say, wow, it sounds like a lot of work. You know what I mean? Amen. "He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Also, you shall attack every fortified city." I hope they were taking notes, right? "And every choice city shall be cut down, and every good tree, stop up every spring of water, and ruin every good piece of land with stones." Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by the way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. Somebody say the land was filled with water, right? So they spent all this time and energy digging all these ditches, and here comes the water. Now, this is the part that jumped out at me right here. "And when the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered, and they stood at the border. They rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water." Somebody say the lights, right? "And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood." To the Moabites, they saw blood. Israel and Judah, they knew it was water. The Moabites looked at it and they saw the blood. How many know the devil might come against you, but he's going to see the blood? Right? If we do enough ditch digging in our own hearts so that the water of the Word of God can be filling those ditches, it takes work to get into this Word and study it and prepare and learn and be in Jesus' presence. But then that water comes and fills our gut. And when the devil comes against you, he's going to see the blood. Glory to God. Now the Moabites, as you continue to read this, saw that as a weakness. How many know some people are going to look at you and your faith in God and see it as a weakness? You Jesus people, you're so weak. You're so mentally weak. That you have to rely on this invisible being. And when the devil comes against it, you'll see in the story, they routed the enemy. See, they didn't run. They ran. They thought, this is our victory, man. In their minds, they thought all these kings turned on each other. It was deception on them, right? And they came in to attack, and they got routed by the power of God. The light shining off the water appeared to them to be blood, and it brought the victory. You see that? Amen. So somebody say, get busy ditch digging. Just keep getting into the Word and digging and digging and digging and digging, and the power of God will fill that with the water of the Word, right? Whether it's for healing, whether it's for freedom, whether it's for peace, whether it's for the joy of the Lord or prosperity or whatever it is you're believing God for. And man, look out. Somebody say, look out. I am walking out the victory of God in every area of my life. Amen. So let's say, go ahead and stand up on your feet. We're going to make this confession as we wrap up today. Everybody say this out loud. In the name of Jesus, I don't have a victim mindset. I have a victor mindset. I don't have a vengeance or venom mindset. I have a victor mindset. And I don't have a violation mindset. I have a victor mindset. In the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just lift your hands and thank Him for that word today. Father, we thank You for the power of Your Spirit. This message that we receive by faith. In Jesus' name. We receive the light of Your word in our lives. To shine to us so it can shine through us. Hallelujah. And bring about that same spirit of victory to other people that are just under the control and dominion of the devil. That it will bring them hope and light, and that they would be shaken free from their shackles and chains and sins and be set free. And we commit ourselves, God, to walking out this life, this mindset of the victory of Christ Jesus. And to walk in the light that we have, and to be fellowshipping with You every day, walking in that spirit of thanksgiving and praise. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout amen.